In today's solo episode, I'm going to answer a question on anti-racism or allyship from our Inclusion First community. Now, these episodes are really made to get you the information that you need so that you can go and make greater change in the world. These are real questions from real people. And my goal here is to break down the question, give some answers and some insights that you can hopefully put to use as you are out there navigating your life, navigating opportunities for anti-racism, for allyship, and to really bring more inclusion into the spaces that you exist in. So here we go. So one of the questions that we got submitted from a person here in the U.S. is learning with books or action better when it comes to learning how to be an ally, learning how to be a racist, learning how to be an activist? Books or learning? Which one is books or action? Which one is better?
So I will say that there is an and. I'd say there's, it's not one or the other, it's and. Books and activism. I will say that we live in a society that's heavier on the books. This work is built in a space that's focused more on books than it is on the experiences and the activism and the learning. I also think that what that's created is a sort of pursuit or a body of work that's much more academic and has totally missed out on the empathetic pieces, the humanity pieces, the connection pieces. You know, I say I've got a fundraise and we do scholarships and stuff, but I say, look, people have been throwing scholarships at diversity and inclusion issues for a very long time. So money's being thrown out. Why can't we move the needle? It's because it's not just money, right? It's also the human element, the connections, the mentoring, the relationship building, the access to understanding what barriers are there and how do I circumnavigate those barriers. And so I would tell whoever was asking that question that you have to be grounded in the fundamentals. You have to, and you have to continuously learn through your books or through podcasts or through other people because you don't know it all. And there's some real fundamentals to this space that you should be aware of. There's real history to help drive you. You know, you can only, there's that term, you can only grow as tall as your roots are deep, right? And so I think there's a real importance in the books, but do not slip on the real active human connection piece that is like super like desperately needed. And I don't, you know, I think especially in D&I, particularly companies, organizations are so focused on data and this is the 2021 diversity report and they kind of are done with it, but nothing's moving the needle. And so I would love to see a little less on the books and more on the experiences. So I would probably say let's move from like 60-40 books to 60-40 activism. And I think we'll be better served from that. I don't think you ever want to leave one or the other out of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. And I love the way that you put it, like there is this body of work and it does become academic. And in that, it can be off-putting to people. And I'm not saying that that's okay, because like we have to do the work regardless of what that is, if we're going to make any changes in our world, right? For sure. But how do we make it more accessible to people? Right. And so I think, you know, it's not just books now. And I know that's not what you were saying, but you know, you can read something, you can watch something, you can listen to something, you yep. can follow someone. Like so much information and content is curated, for you and making it so much easier. But don't just like go down any rabbit hole, because there's so much misinformation and fake news out there for sure. Like go to sources that are reputable, go to, you know, look at academic institutions, look at authors, people who have done the research versus people are, you know, just these opinion facts, right? Everyone has an opinion. And, you know, how do you also leverage the communities and the relationships that you have as well as you're learning and coming to those conversations with some knowledge, with some questions, with some work done ahead of time versus like, I'm an empty cup, please tell me how to do this. Like, right. No, that's right. Not how you would approach anything in your life that you cared about. So please don't come to this like that yeah. either.
And I think you want to come to it with the mindset of building consensus. right? Mm-hmm. So, and what building consensus we've, because this is a scaled issue, it requires a scaled solution. And scaled solutions are in movements. Scaled solutions are in scaled programs that you can scale out, right? And the way that you scale things out is you can't do the inherent in the word scale means you can't do it by yourself, right? So you have to make sure that you're building consensus. And what I like to tell people is if they don't know what that means, it's just like a kind of a political term about like getting votes. And so you take your take a sheet of paper, put three columns, so two lines down the middle, you do three columns. On one side, you have all the people that believe in what you're doing, right? The Carries and the H's of the world that are like, yeah, I'm all about this. In the middle, you have the people that kind of like H some days, and then other days, I think he's crazy. I'm cool with H. I go hang out with him, but like I'm not that cool with H. And then on the third column, you put everyone who just absolutely hates H and Carries. Like, I will never do this, right? Like, Donald Trump might be somebody that would be on that with respect to like, my spectrum. He might be over there. And what I would encourage you to do is you need to focus on rallying up your people. Get the Carries and the H's in your world pumped about your work. Get them excited. Get them rocking. Because once you get them rocking, they will then help you get the middle people rocking who aren't sure. Because when they hear from other people like, yo, have you heard about Carrie? Like, yo, she's doing some real work. Have you heard about H? Like, you should check them out. And when you start to get that sort of reference, that becomes important. And then completely forget that Donald Trump's in that third column. Do not even waste your time. Do not expect them. We spend a lot of our energy worried about those people in that third column. And we don't, and we neglect those advocates and those champions that believe in you. And so one of the things that I would just highly recommend is build consensus around what you're doing. And we need to train more leaders to be able to build movements around building consensus. Because these issues aren't isolated silos. They're massive scale problems. And so you have to learn how to build consensus and really maximize your ability to make impact. And so the reason why you're reading these books or learning the podcast or, you know, looking at data, it all should be a means to the ends, which is how do I build consensus around something that I'm activated on or something that I believe in, right? And so build that consensus, move across those columns, and completely forget those people that you're never going to get behind you, because that's like mad energy you're wasting.
That is such a great visual that you just built for us, like this idea of ignoring and where you're activating, where you're putting that energy. Because one thing I love to point out, like if you are trying to convince the people who are not convincible, besides the fact that you're wasting energy, you are not working with the people who are already activated, who are already ready, or even the ones who are like neutral and could be swayed. Like you can only do one thing at a time. So if you're convincing, you're not doing the work that needs to be done. And it is this both and. And so how do you use this learning to feed the activation, to feed the consensus building, to feed the impact that you're creating?
100%. And you're going to find that it's going to make you, because you also have to think about mental health and yourself. Like I said, we're dealing with sensitive matters of the heart, of the brain. Like this is really sensitive work. And so you want to make sure that you're surrounded by people that believe in what you're doing and support you, that push you to be better. I mean, you've pushed me in many ways. I remember on a whiteboard in Qualcomm and you helping us at SD2 build this thing out. Like there's been times you're like, H, come on. Are you thinking about this? Have you thought about that? And so it's not a matter of like getting a bunch of people that just say yes to you all the time. Like you're the furthest thing from that. But you push me to be better. You push me to push, you know, the envelope and make sure that we're doing the things for all the right reasons. And I think, you know, that's what you're looking for. And you'll be better in your mental health for it. I mean, how many times have you and I worked with people and we're just like, oh my God, like it's terrible. You're waking up, you're like, I don't want to work with that person. Like, yeah, and your mental health is just deteriorating. And so don't do that. That's not what you need to do. And focus on building that movement through building consensus.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Thank you for listening to the Inclusion First podcast. We are always collecting and answering your most important questions on anti-racism. So if there's something on your mind, head on over to the inclusionfirstproject.org and click on Ask a Question. We would love to get your like, your share, your follow, and especially your review wherever you find us. Thank you again so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.